Our epistle for this feast of Saints Isaac, Joses, and his companions is taken from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 11 through 15. Brethren, I ought to have been commended by you, since in no way have I fallen short of the most eminent apostles, even though I am nothing. Indeed, the signs of the apostles were wrought among you in all patience, in miracles, and wonders, and deeds of power. For in what have you been less favored than other churches, unless in this, that I was no burden to you? Pardon me this wrong. Behold, this is the third time that I am ready to come to you, and I will not be a burden to you. For I do not seek yours, but you. For the children should not save up for the parents, but the parents for the children. But I will gladly spend and be spent myself for your souls, even though loving you more, I be loved less. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 6, verses 17 through 23. At that time, Jesus, coming down with them, took his stand on a level stretch with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from Judea and Jerusalem and the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to listen to him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured, and all the crowd were trying to touch him, for power went forth from him and healed all. And he lifted up his eyes to his disciples and said, "Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed shall you be when men hate you, and when they shut you out and reproach you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day and exult, for behold, your reward is great in heaven." Thus far the words of today's epistle and Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death.
But I will most gladly spend and be spent myself for your souls, even though, loving you more, I be loved less. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, today is the feast of St. Isaac, Joses, and companions. A special feast for us here in North America. Even though these Jesuits, when they came over in the 17th century, came over to the east portion of this continent, in the Ontario area, in the Quebec area, and the New York area. It would take too long to discuss the life of St. Isaac Joses and all the details, the fascinating details. If you would like a deeper account of his life, there are a few books out there. Saint Among the Hurons is a really good book to read. But one of the most astonishing things about St. Isaac Joses' life is that he was learned, he was a teacher, he had a place to stay in France and a job to do, but he volunteered. Another thing about St. Isaac Joses and his companions was how young they were. St. Isaac Joses was born in 1607, and after his dedication of his life to the church, to study, at the mere age of 29 is when he embarked on a trip to a people unknown, to a land unknown, to an outcome unknown, but a want for the salvation of souls. 29 years old, a lot of people this day and age won't even get married till they're 29, take responsibility for their life. But he was taking action in order to spread the faith, in order so that people would be affected. On this mission, They were sent into a region that you basically had three Indian nations. You had the Hurons, the Algonquins, and the Iroquois. One faction of the Iroquois Confederation, as they were called the Mohawks. They were vicious, warlike, and brutal, especially to their enemies. What else needs to be understood is the politics that were being played, because you had the French up in the north, you had the Dutch and English in the south, and they allied themselves with certain Indian groups, which made them allies and then in opposition to their enemies. Of course, the French were warring against the English, and the Dutch had their own ideas. And the Dutch and English, of course, you had Protestants from Henry VIII, Calvin, etc. So they didn't like the Catholic priests. They didn't like Catholics, period. And so there was this political game going on. And these priests were sent into this mess with one intention: to save souls. An agreement had been reached with the Hurons that the black robes would go and, or black coats is what they called them actually, they would go and live with the Hurons. And a few interesting tidbits that I always found fascinating was on the trip from where they had met up with the Huron caravan that was going to take them up, and their journey that took them up to the place where the Hurons were staying. The trip was hard. They took a canoe up the river, and they would go off to the side, and they had to do a lot of carrying along with their luggage and everything else like that, a portage, and they would stay the night on the side. And I remember of the difficulties that they were talking about. One thing, and maybe this is because of my boarding background, but one thing that I keep thinking about was the Indians, their main source of food, especially in traveling, was cornmeal. And they would make this cornmeal mush, have a little pot, stick it in there with water, boil it, mix it up. And then they would, without cleaning their hands, of course, and just, they all just stick their hands in it and eat. Here you're talking about St. Isaac Jogues came from France. There was cleanliness that was important. There was etiquette that was important. But that was all thrown out the windows. And the Indians watched the priest to see if the priest would partake. And the priest had to humble themselves and partake. They were given way to every custom of their future flock, if you will, that wasn't sinful. There were some customs, of course, they could not give into any type of war. It was interesting, once they got up to the town of the Indians, they were going along, and then the chief one day decides he's making a proclamation that it's time to go on the warpath. Why? Were they at war? Were they being attacked? No, it was just time. Today we are going to go hunt for other human beings. And they went and they found some poor hunters of another tribe, captured them, brought them back, tortured them in the most horrible ways. And we don't want to go into too many details, but the Hurons, they thought the black coats were weak because they didn't partake. And after they had their fun, they finally killed these poor victims and ate them, throwing the bones at the priest's house. These are the type of people these priests were trying to convert. This was their mentality of the time. But it wasn't before long that he saw success. Started getting a smaller group, and the group kind of grew, looking pretty good. Until one day when he was with his group of Catholic Hurons, they fell among the Iroquois who were on the warpath, and they got captured. They were taken in all sorts of different horrible treatment. They had this one thing called a gauntlet, where all the braves would line up in two rows with all sorts of sticks and whips and everything else and make the prisoners run through them. Some wouldn't make it through with their life. And if you did make it through, you didn't make it through without suffering. They would have a torture of pulling out fingernails. It was at this point where St. Isaac Jogues lost his fingers that he uses to say Mass. Someone chewed them off. Anyways, after about a year in captivity, if you're this type of treatment, malnutritioned, hyperthermic, he was rescued and got back to France. And after his capture, he was unable to say Mass because you can't say Mass unless you have a special dispensation if you don't have those fingers. So in going back to France, he made his way to Rome to ask for permission. It was there that Pope Urban VIII called him a living martyr, already having spent his faith, and said, absolutely, you have a dispensation. And the astonishing thing was, he was safe. He was able. He already paid his debt. And what did he do? He went back. Why? Because they were his souls, and he wanted to save them. St. Isaac Jogues and his companions gave of their life because they believed in their faith. From the time that St. Isaac Jogues first went on mission till his death, when he was killed by being smacked by a tomahawk, 10 years. 10 years, and I'm only scraping the surface on the things and ordeals that he had to go through. But he shed this blood. He shed his blood for those people and for us. We wouldn't have the faith now if people like him wouldn't do the sacrifice or didn't do the sacrifices that he did and that they did. Just do a little bit of history and you can see where these missionaries came and sacrificed tremendously. What does this mean for us? Are we just to stand back and ooh and awe over a great sacrifice of a holy man who we proclaim as a saint? Or to hold it precious because he came to this land and we have the faith because of men like him? Or is there something more that we can do? I think there's something more that we should do. Just because you have the faith doesn't mean you're saved. You must live the faith. And you must live it faithfully. Not just in word, but in deed and in truth. In living the faith, the byproduct is then you affect other souls. They will grow to a knowledge of God because of how you live. Parents, your children, all of us are friends. It baffles my mind when people justify for the sake of friendship or love a family member, that they justify something that is in opposition to God's law in order to please or make someone feel good. That is having the faith and not living it and making yourself accountable for it. No, we must not only have the faith, we must live it and perfect ourselves in living that faith each day, every day. Don't just say, I believe. Act as you believe. Call with all earnestness God into your day and ask Him to make you an instrument of His peace, to affect good in those people around you, those that are closest and nearest and dearest to you, but all men who come in contact with you. What does Christ say? Let your light shine before men so that they might see your good works and rejoice in your Father in heaven. I think it's the Imitation of Christ that says, what good is it to know theology definitions but not understand them or live them? To know what charity is but not to live it? No, we have a mission. St. Isaac Jogues had a mission, fulfilled that mission. Now he's a saint in heaven, and souls, numberless souls, have been affected. You and I, we have a mission. We must promote Christ in our day. First and foremost to ourselves. And then through ourselves to others. Souls are dependent on us. Let us pray for that grace during Holy Mass today. Let us beg St. Isaac Jogues and his companions to pray for us that we may receive the grace to have the faith of our fathers. and to live it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Confessions will be heard.